You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it is time for us now to get into our study for today, and we are having the benefit of Pastor Solomon once again giving us the benefit of his time and insights to help us understand more about the compassion of Christ. And today we're focusing on feeding the hungry, healing the hurting. We're feeding the hungry and healing the hurting. Jesus wasn't only about spiritual sermons, people. We need to be fully aware of that. He fed the hungry, he healed the sick, and met tangible needs. You know, I get annoyed sometimes when people say, oh, I've got problem X, Y, and Z, and somebody says, oh, we're going to pray for you. Oh, please. Please, please, please. Jesus didn't just say, I'm going to pray for you. His compassion had hands and feet. Whether it was a meal for 5,000 and food left over and healing on the Sabbath, remember that? His love was actually practical. It was not a theoretical thing like we are. Real compassion pays attention to what people actually need. That's why we need Pastor Solomon to come and help us here. Perhaps I'm being too harsh. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, my brother. I enjoy listening to you, and good afternoon to all the listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfundis. Thank you very much, Mfundis. Let's jump right in, Mfundis. What does the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14, 13 to 21 teach us about Jesus' priorities?
I just came across an interesting quote that says the following, that compassion wears work boots.
Okay. Okay.
It feeds, it lifts, it binds, it serves.
Right.
So, in this passage, we find a beautiful example of Jesus' compassion in action.
Right.
Now, just a little bit of background that we should not miss. Jesus himself is in need of compassion here.
Right, right. Well,
why do I say that? Jesus had just heard about his cousin John the Baptist's death.
Right.
He withdrew to a quiet place, you know, to grieve.
Okay.
But the crowds don't leave him alone.
Yeah,
they follow
yeah,
him. He didn't turn them away. He could have. But he was moved with compassion, the gospel writer says.
Oh, course,
he was
yeah.
moved with compassion for them. And what does he do? He healed their sick.
Right.
Man, this would probably be the last thing I would do when I get news Jesus God. Yeah, but here's the thing. His compassion moved him to action.
Right.
Earlier this week, I think we said Jesus' compassion was not abstract.
Okay.
But you know what? When I look at us, you know, how many times do we see a need in the church or on the street, a beggar, a mother with a child begging, and we turn our eyes away, we roll our windows up.
Right, right, right.
But listen to Isaiah 58, verse 7, speaking on the true fast, and we'll come back to that one. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry?
Yeah.
And listen to this, not to hide yourself from your own flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
So often, this is exactly what happens. We see a beggar, as I said, we turn the other way. We're hiding ourselves from our own flesh. That person, they could have been me. The only difference between that person and me is the grace of God. That line is so thin. So that's my brother. That's my sister.
Absolutely.
Begging on the street.
Right.
And Isaiah here, the true fast, true Christianity is not to hide yourself from your flesh.
Right.
And just the second part to this verse is, you know, then when evening came, Jesus fed them,
right.
You know, 5,000 men plus women, children.
Right.
And as I said earlier, he could have dismissed them. You know, he could have hid himself from his own flesh. You know, but instead he said, you give them something to eat. And, you know, wanted to build the faith of his disciples at the same time. So what is it, you know, what does this miracle teach us about Jesus' priorities? That ministry to the soul often begins with ministry to the body.
Right.
People listen better when they've been loved well.
Right, right, right. So why is it important, Mfundisi, that Jesus cared for physical needs as well as spiritual needs?
I think it's because physical compassion builds bridges for spiritual transformation.
Okay.
I repeat that. Physical compassion builds bridges.
Yeah.
for spiritual transformation.
Okay.
We whole beings, we holistic, we integrated. You know, it shows that God cares about all aspects
Right.
of our lives, not just our spiritual. You know,
Right.
that caring for the physical needs can be a pathway to addressing spiritual needs.
Yeah.
In Mark 6:34, Jesus saw the crowd and he was moved with compassion,
Right.
because they were like sheep without a shepherd.
Right.
Then he taught them and then he fed them.
Yeah.
The two go together. The world needs today what it needed 1900 years ago,
Right.
a revelation of Christ. So why does caring for physical needs matter? Because people who are hungry, people who are sick, people who are suffering, they need hope.
Right.
And they need help. And often help is the first language of hope and healing.
Right. Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. How can we balance it out, Mfundisi, the preaching the gospel with meeting practical needs today? I mean, I don't want us to come off as saying the preaching is not important, but we need a balance between the two. Just help us balance it out. How do we balance preaching the gospel with meeting practical needs today?
Yeah. I think you're touching on something very important here, my brother. You know, there's this battle going on in the church, you know, about this. You know, and I'm going to make mention of it towards the end of this question, because I'm thinking now of this. You know, some say the mission of the Adventist Church is the proclamation of the three angels' message.
Right.
You know, and that's true, right? But you know, then others are saying, you know, no, it's the feeding of the hungry and the poor. And we quote Isaiah 58, which is
right.
I just read part of it. But I want to say it's not either or.
Okay.
It's both.
Yeah.
It is fully fulfilled in the life of Christ, and I'm sure you can agree with me.
Mm.
If we look at the life of Christ, you know, what do you see? Do you see Christ only interested in spirituality of people, or
okay.
what do you see?
All
Sorry,
right.
If I can bring you in.
Yeah, I see a Christ who was fully spiritual and fully physical. He was as much of a preacher as much of a feeder of those he was preaching to. As he fed them,
yeah.
he preached to them. As he preached to them, he fed them.
Correct. We see that all over the Gospels.
Right.
Right. There's Ellen White in Ministry of Healing, page 144. She says the following. She says, the gospel is to be preached
right.
and practiced.
Absolutely.
Preached and
That's
practiced.
That's it.
We are introduced, you know, in Ministry of Healing 143, just a little bit, one page earlier, we are introduced to Christ's method of ministry. And what was that method of ministry? It was meeting the needs of people, showing
yeah.
sympathy, winning trust,
right?
Then bidding them to follow him. And, you know, I remember one of the churches that I used to pastor, we had just such a powerful ministry to the community. They came, you know, for food, and because it was kind of an impoverished community, they came
okay.
for food, but we told them, we said, this is what we are called to do, just as what Jesus did. He fed the hungry.
Right.
But, you know, we said, we don't only want to feed you for today and tomorrow and then
right.
the day after you're hungry again. We want to feed you with spiritual food
right.
that can sustain you for eternity.
Right.
And so unfolding it to the people very clearly, yes, we have this calling to feed and meet the physical, but the great one also is the spiritual, and you know, that's the gospel with skin on it.
Absolutely.
If we look at the Good Samaritan,
right?
Jesus didn't just pray for the man. You mentioned that
yes.
earlier on.
Yes.
So the one that was left there half dead in Luke chapter 10. He didn't just pray for the man. He bandaged his wounds.
Yeah.
He set him on a donkey.
Yeah.
He took him to an inn. He paid the bill.
Yeah.
Right. That's
yeah.
the gospel with skin on it. And so to come back to that one that I talked on earlier, sorry, about, is I was surprised to hear a preacher say the other day, our mission as SDAs is to preach the three angels' message, not to feed the hungry.
Bible.
You know, and my response is, yes, that is our mission, but our method to the mission is Christ's method.
Yeah.
He mingled with people. He felt sympathy and empathy and compassion for the situation.
Yeah.
He met them at the point of need, you know, met those needs by feeding, healing, etc. Mm-hmm. And through this, he won their confidence. And
absolutely.
Then he shared the everlasting gospel in the context of the three angels' message and called them to follow him.
Yeah, yeah. Then let's just do a bit of analysis and self-analysis of that, mindfulness, that bit of introspection. What happens when we focus only on spiritual care and neglect or ignore physical suffering? What exactly happens in that situation?
Yeah. Your questions follow such a logical flow. I need to commend you for that. So if we fail to introduce Christ as the one who is interested in the well-being of the whole person,
mm-hmm.
you know, the one who's able to heal body, mind, and soul, if we fail to do that, we lose people.
Right.
You know, it's not only truth that keeps people. And this is probably a very controversial thing that I'm saying.
Okay.
It's not only truth that keeps people.
Okay.
It is healthy and caring relationships that keep people. In fact, I would dare to say this trumps the truth even.
Okay.
Because if people, I mean, we know how important relationships are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody new comes into a church and there's no caring relationships, it is very difficult for that new person
to stay.
You know, to stay. That's right.
Yeah.
But if that person comes, hey, let me tell you this. I'm just thinking of this now. So just the other day, my wife did a 9-week depression and anxiety education program here for a community through Pinetown Church.
Okay.
And about halfway through this program, the depression anxiety education program, halfway through, two of these people that attended the program, not Adventists, mm-hmm. two of them started attending the church.
Okay.
And they came to the church not because of any truth, because literally there was no gospel preached.
Yeah,
it was a depression program. But because of the community, the care, the meaningful relationships, the support. And I just wish you can listen. We made a little video of these two people giving their testimonies.
Okay.
And I wish our people can listen to those testimonies about the importance of caring relationships and how important they are. And again, I want to emphasize here also, it's not either or. It's not truth or caring relationships.
Right.
It's both. But so oftentimes we focus on the truth and we miss building those transformative relationships with people.
Ah, beautiful. So our final shot, Mfundisi, is on a piece of advice we want you to share with us. What small acts of service can we demonstrate that are Christ-like, that show Christ's compassion that we can use in our respective communities?
You know, I want to read Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. Sorry, it's going to be a little bit long.
Okay.
Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? There we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That is like a book. Each one is a book on its own, of small things that we can do. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them and not hide yourself from your flesh. So just as introduction, you know, I just wanted to put that into the mind of the listener. And really, do you know what's the smallest act that we can do? And you're probably going to be shocked and maybe not agree with me.
Okay.
But the smallest act of what we can do is consistency.
Oh, okay.
Totally unexpected, I know.
Okay.
Consistency. And, you know, why do I say what I say? Whatever we do, consistency is key. I've seen it. God doesn't want us to do a hit and run ministry.
Okay.
You know, Global Youth Day, we see our young people at their best. You don't see anything better than that. Great excitement, great testimonies of young people on the streets doing acts of kindness. but it happens once a year. Now, can you imagine if they went out once a month, or let me dare say, every second week, go yeah. out and be the hands and feet of Jesus?
Oh, my
right?
God.
We don't want to just tick the box, soothe the conscience, make an impression. We
right.
want to make an eternal impact on people. And for that to happen, there has to be consistency
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
in our big X, small X, whatever X.
Right, right.
There's got to be consistency. We must ask ourselves, what's the end goal?
Yeah.
What do I want to? I want to, you know, I'm in an office building. I want to reach my colleague at work.
Right.
I'm in my neighborhood. I want to reach my neighbor. I want to reach my friend. Then, you know, choose one person in that workplace of yours.
Right.
Choose one family in that neighborhood of yours. Choose one of your friends and start an intentional ministry
right.
of a journey of reaching that person.
Yeah.
Pray. I just read this morning, personal effort for others should be preceded by much secret prayer.
Yeah.
So the number one small thing is pray, right, for that, you know, God, show me which one in my workplace, in my neighborhood, amongst my friend, which one, you know, and let me begin to do small acts
right.
of showing care and kindness toward that person.
Mm.
If we want to run through a list of few acts of kindness, you know, and here, you know, do a favor for someone without expecting anything in
right.
return.
Right.
What do you think of that one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's the one that is most fulfilling, to do something without expecting anything in return, something that they didn't even ask you for. That's more fulfilling than any, if you ask me.
And that's so countercultural, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's about, you know, what is in it for me? Or I'm doing it for you today, you can do it for
Absolutely.
Me tomorrow. You know,
yes,
we want that favor to be returned.
Yes, yes.
But here we're speaking about altruism. We speak about selflessness. You can another thing to do, you can bring a snack or something nice for
right.
co-workers.
Right.
You know, you can let someone, you know, ahead of you in line.
Yeah.
Queue, you're standing in that long queue, you know, and you see somebody is rushing. Can you imagine, you know, when you just step back and say, hey, you can go ahead
yeah.
of me.
Yeah.
What an impact that, you know,
yeah.
totally shocked.
Yeah.
Again, countercultural.
Right, right.
In a society of me first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Media, send an encouraging message to someone who's going through a tough time.
Right, right.
Give a genuine compliment.
Yeah.
It can brighten somebody's day. Offer a listening ear to someone who needs to talk. Spend quality time. Visit the lonely, the aged, the shut-ins. Empty my clothing cupboard of unnecessary clothes.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's this guy that shared with me, you know, he once or twice a year, he empties his cupboard. And he said, it's amazing how God blesses him, because his cupboard is never really empty.
Wow, okay.
Gifts come and a new shirt comes.
Right,
new
right.
pants come. You know, God somehow makes up for us when we step out
okay.
in acts of kindness to others.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, that's a beautiful note to leave it on. And for this, once again, you have delivered. We really appreciate these lessons. They do not go unnoticed. And may God bless you for your ministry. Let's do this again, once again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Father Mfundisi.
God bless. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.